Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
If you know Christ, you were not designed or called to journey through life alone. You're called to journey through life with a church family, striving together with one heart and one mind. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we learn how to strive together. You know, a lot of churches have lost the ability to stay unified, to stand together for the gospel, to strive together with one heart, one mind, and one spirit for the faith of the gospel. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to rediscover and begin discovering how to strive together. Welcome to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. Dr. Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. And today we're going to study how to strive together. We're learning and relearning how to not go through life alone, but to arm in arm, heart to heart, shoulder to shoulder with our church family for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Strive together for the faith. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources there, a daily devotional, the Daily in the Word podcast, as well as Dr. Chappell's two newest books. The first one, Stewarding Life, a beautiful hardback book that helps you understand how to take one lifetime of limited resources and live it for eternal priorities. The second is a book entitled Sacred Motives, 10 Reasons to Get Out of Bed Tomorrow Morning and Live for God. Both of these books will encourage and strengthen your walk with God, and you can find out more about them at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to discover how to strive together with family unity. Genesis chapter 2 is our text. Here's Paul Chappell.
Most of you know that the book of Genesis is a book of beginnings, and we find here God creating the heavens and the earth, and we find many beginnings in this book. Right here in chapter 2, we see the very first Sabbath in verses 1 through 3. Adam rested, the Bible says, rather God rested on the Sabbath. And then the Bible tells us in verses 8 and 9 about the very first garden. In verse 8, the Bible says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And so we see the first Sabbath in this chapter. We see the first garden. And then we see the first law that was ever given. In verse number 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. And so we see the first law established by God for Adam and Eve. And then, of course, here in chapter 2, we see the very first family. And this morning, we have the privilege of studying about the family. The family did not come into existence when Prop 8 was passed. Just because we saw a favorable vote on what a family is, a man and a woman in marriage, and thank God for that vote back in 2008. But we understand that God ordained the family by His will and by His power. Now, there are many today who are saying that marriage is archaic and unnecessary, many who are advocating alternative lifestyles. Even Time magazine recently had a front cover article entitled, Marriage, Who Needs It? And they really questioned whether marriage was even necessary in today's society. That particular article indicated that in the 1960s, nearly 70% of all adults were married. But in recent years, about half that number are married. It indicated furthermore that because of the changing and evolutionary attitude towards marriage, that now some 8 times as many children are born out of wedlock. because in our society, young people have not been trained to wait for marriage and for God's plan when it comes to the matter of sexual relations. Back then in the 60s, about two-thirds of 20-somethings were married during their 20s. But in this era in which we live, only 26% of 20-something young people are choosing marriage, while many of the others are choosing fornication and lifestyles that are outside the boundary and teaching of God's original design. At the conclusion of the time study, the authors wrote, and I quote, "What we found is that marriage, whatever its social, spiritual, or symbolic appeal, is in purely practical terms just not as necessary as it used to be." Well, this morning we're not here to study Time Magazine. We're here to study the Bible. Amen? And I want you to know something this morning. We believe that if God ordained it, it's necessary. We believe that if God ordained it, there was a plan. There was a design in His mind. Now, you can follow the world's plan. The world's plan is to break up marriage. The devil hates marriage. And that's why, according to an Enrichment Journal study, the divorce rate for first marriages in America is 41%. Those who try again a second time, the divorce rate is 60%. And the third marriage divorce rate is 73%. If you haven't figured it out, you'd be a lot better off staying with the one you're with right now, all right? It doesn't seem to get progressively better on the second, third, and fourth try. God saw that man needed companionship, and God ordained marriage as His way of supporting the family and encouraging fellowship and unity. But the devil's so good at disrupting that unity. And this morning, what I'd like to do is encourage you, whether you're husband and wife or whether you're a single parent raising some teenagers, I'd like to encourage you with some principles from the Bible that will help us to have unity in our homes and in our families. So let's dive into this morning. I want you to see, first of all, with me today that God's Word declares that marriage is a unique relationship. It is a very unique relationship. And in verse number 18 of this passage, we read, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." In my Bible, the page is folded over just ever so slightly, and it says, "It is no good that the man should be alone." How many of you men understand that God said when He saw Adam's state that it was not good? And I just want to thank God this morning that this unique relationship called marriage is first of all designed by God. And it was designed by a God who sees our need. Now I thank God today that He sees the needs of His people. I thank God that He knows your address and mine. He certainly knew Adam's, and He saw Adam had a need. And He said in verse 18, "It is not good that man should be alone." Now, sometimes when I read that verse, I travel back in my mind to my lonely days as a young man in Bible college. And I remember one of the first times I ever laid eyes on my wife-to-be, and I remember seeing Terry across the way in the laundromat in Bible college, And I think she caught my eye and I caught her eye. I was over on the guy's side of the laundromat. She was on the girl's side. We went to Christian college. Talk about no co-ed dormitories. We didn't even have co-ed laundromats. You know what I'm saying? There was a line down the middle. Guys wash on one side, girls wash on one side. And I remember just coming in from the mission field of Korea where my parents were living still. I had all my clothes there. I had one blue sport coat. I was so proud of it. It was custom made by a tailor in Itaewon, South Korea, and it had brass buttons on it. And I was so happy to have that sport coat. This was my first day of doing laundry, and so we walked in there, and I began to put things in the washing machine. I put all the whites. I put all the colored stuff. I put my blue sport coat in the laundry that day. And I didn't know a lot about getting stuff clean. I just knew I wanted mine really clean. I always like clean stuff, you know. And so I put in as much soap as it could hold. I turned it as hot as I could get it and closed the lid on that. And I was just kind of waving over there at Terry and just having a good time. And she was kind of looking back at me. Now I think she was probably thinking, it is not good for that man to be alone. I mean, she is probably thinking, that's one of the dumber freshmen I've ever seen at this college. Well, of course, everything got washed, and I don't know why I pulled that coat out and just was filled with soap, and I shook it off as best as I could and threw everything into the dryer and got it real nice and dry. And took it out. And I remember trying that suit on, and single men just a little thought about washing sport coats. They're not the same size when they come out of the dryer. And my wife observed all of that. And I really think God looked down from heaven. And how many of you believe God has a sense of humor? Amen. And I believe that truly, it is not good for a man to be alone. God sees our need. But I want you to know that not only does God see our need, but thank God He meets our need. We serve a God that wants to meet our need. Now, it's not always through marriage, and I want to say that right up front. It's not always God's will to meet our needs through marriage, but I want you to see three ways that God meets the needs of His children. First of all, He meets our need with His very presence. How many of you are thankful that you have a personal Savior? Now, I thank the Lord for our church and the relationships, but we're not here to have a relationship with a church. We're here to learn about our relationship with God. And the Bible says in John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit's presence in my life. And I'm thankful that no matter your state maritally, that we serve a God who concerns Himself with your need. And He has His presence made available for you and for me. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with whatsoever, with such things as you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thank God that He does not leave us. Some others may walk out, but He will never leave us, and He will never forsake us. One author said concerning the disciples made no move to appoint a replacement for Jesus. Tacit evidence, they were conscious of His abiding presence, their living leader and Lord. What a blessing that the disciples knew that although He had ascended up into heaven, He was still with them. God provides His own fellowship for us. Let me tell you, secondly, God provides for every one of us His local church. And I thank God that He provides the need for fellowship and encouragement through the local church. Acts 2:42 is one of many verses, but notice it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, I know that many today in America are falling away from church, and some are even spiritualizing it and saying, you know, just me and God, that's all that's needed. We're going to see tonight in our study of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, on the other hand, that God actually ordained the local New Testament church with various purposes in mind. And one of those purposes was to meet the need that we have for fellowship, for exhortation, for accountability, for body life, for friendship. And I'm thankful that God has provided the church to be a place where those needs are met. Notice what Nancy DeMoss said in her book, Holiness, The Heart God Purifies. I love this quote. She said, being disconnected from the local church, for whatever reason, is a dangerous way to live. Not only do those lone rangers miss out on the blessings of functioning within the context of the body of Christ, but like lone sheep away from the safety of the flock and the watchful care of the shepherd, they are vulnerable to predators of every sort. And I know that sometimes people say, well, I had a bad experience in a church, and maybe they did, but by and large, God has designed the church to be a place to exhort and edify and encourage and protect, and how we thank the Lord for it. That's why it says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Notice the quote by Kent Hughes on this subject in the book Disciplines of a Godly Man. On the most elementary level, you do not have to go to church to be a Christian. Now let's stop right there. How many of you believe that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian? I believe that. How many of you are thankful that we're not saved by works, but we're saved by the grace of God? Amen. So we're not here today to try to earn our way into heaven. So at the most elementary level, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but read on. You do not have to go home to be married either. But in both cases, if you do not, you will have a very poor relationship. You see, my friend, God has instituted the home. God has instituted the church to be places of strengthening and encouragement. So He says, I've given you My presence. I've given you My church. And then, of course, today's topic, He says, I want to meet your need through the family. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. By the way, fellas, let me just say, she's the weaker vessel, but the use of the word weaker implies that we are weak also. We need the strengthening of the Lord. even as we're honoring. And the word weaker here does not imply mentally or in some spiritual way. Many wives are stronger than their husbands spiritually. But like fine china, like something that is very valuable and precious, God says, I want you to honor your wife. I want the family to be a place where honor is elevated, a place where lives are encouraged and strengthened. This is the design of God. Now, some people say Adam and Eve had the ideal marriage. They say Adam did not have to hear about all the men that Eve could have married. Some of you will get that tomorrow. And they say that Eve did not have to hear about the way Adam's mother cooked, right? And so they had a better starting point, maybe. But the Bible says that God designed marriage to be a place where honor is given and encouragement is given. So it's designed by God. This is a unique relationship. Watch this. Not designed by the state of California. Not designed by the legislators. Not even designed by the voters. I don't care if 9/10 of the Californians vote for gay marriage. It's still wrong. It's still ungodly. And it's still not God's plan. Marriage is not designed by voters or state capital votes. Marriage is designed by God. And it's designed by God. And secondly, it's developed for companionship. Marriage is developed for companionship. Now, I want you to see the very first wedding in the Bible, all right? And the very first wedding is found in Genesis 2 and verse 21. So let's get a picture of it. Notice this. And the Lord God, well, remember verse 20, he said there was no helpmeet for him. So it says in 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. This is the first recorded case of anesthesiology. All right? Here's a surgery in the Bible. The Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman, and watch this, he brought her unto the man. Now the woman was not taken from the head to rule over the man, nor from the feet to be trampled upon by the man, but from the side to be the companion of the man. And the Bible says that the Lord brought her unto Adam. The other day we had a wedding in this auditorium, and so the father brought the bride here to the front, and he stood right here proudly and sadly at all at the same time, had tears in his eyes, and it was, in fact, it was Brother Ken Elliott standing here, and I stood up here, and I said, who gives this woman to be married to this man? And Brother Elliott said, her mother and I do. And someone says, what's the tradition of that? That is a picture of what we just read. God the Father brought Eve to Adam, and the Father still brings his daughter to the groom in the wedding ceremony. And so this is the first wedding ceremony in the Bible. And we study the Bible, and we learn that the Hebrew word for Adam is Ish, and the word for Eve is Isha, which means from the man. And so God developed this relationship for companionship. God intended for this to be a place and a way for companionship to be developed. Now, someone said many girls marry a man much like their father, and that's why their mothers cry at the wedding. I don't know if that's exactly true, but again, Adam and Eve didn't have human relations in that way. They were created by God. It was a unique relationship that was established by God for a purpose. Well, let's notice, secondly, God intended this not only to be unique, but he intends this relationship to be unifying. In other words, this relationship should build strength and hope and courage within our hearts. Now, the devil fights this every step of the way. It's so sad sometimes that within the confines of a home, there can be such insecurity and hurt and such feelings of separation, even though we live in close proximity physically to one another. But I want you to see that God intended unity, and I want you to notice, first of all, that we are to be unified through acceptance. Unified through acceptance. Now, verse 23, notice what the Bible says in this text. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, what you see there in verse 23 is the statement of a man really happy about his new bride. He says, if I could give the modern day version, whoa, praise the Lord, this is great. She's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He completely accepted God's gift. He didn't say, excuse me, Lord, concerning model A here, there's a few problems. We need to go back to quality control on this one. No. He completely accepted She's now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Now, acceptance is the optimum environment for growth. Acceptance is the optimum environment for growth. Sometimes we wonder why there's not a growing love in our relationships, and it's because we are experts at conditional love. And when you love someone conditionally, you keep them feeling insecure, you know. Well, if my husband made money like Joe Smo, or if my wife looked like Sally Sue, or if, then, you know, we would. And you see, that is the opposite of what God shows us here. God says if you want unity, you've got to love and show acceptance for your spouse. Adam completely accepted Eve. She is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And he gave to her that feeling and that sense of full love and acceptance. Now, fellas, the truth of the matter is that every one of us sitting in this room who are married ought to be thankful for our spouse and look for ways to let her know of our unconditional acceptance. And the truth is, most of us have married way over our heads. Some of you are also very stupid. Because when the pastor says you've married way over your head, that's a good time to just become charismatic right there. Let's try that again. Some of you have married. That means that you have married a wonderful woman. Some of you have married way over your heads. Amen. Good. You can have supper now. Whew. Man, I was worried for some of you. But somehow we as men can convey the idea that, well, you know, you're all right. You know, what's with men? You know, here we can stand in front of the mirror, 50 pounds overweight, our belly hanging out from our t-shirt, kind of look at ourselves in the mirror, flex a little bit, and go, hey, 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 isn't she lucky? And we'll kind of pick at her for the few things. Have you ever heard the old phrase, get the beam out of your own eye? But sometimes we're experts at, instead of building security, building insecurity. Sometime, fellas, you might just try something like this. You might just say to your wife, sweetheart, I want to tell you what, I'm thankful for you, and I look forward to growing old with you. And whatever you have need of, I want to try to meet that need. God has blessed me with you. Now, after she faints and you pick her back up, maybe tell her that again. What is that? That's complete acceptance. Adam completely accepted his wife. He didn't try to keep her guessing. He wanted her to know, you are my everything. I'm thankful to God for you. Now, one of the reasons that we should be able as Christians to give that acceptance is because of the fact that we are accepted. We are completely accepted in the Lord. Ephesians 1:6, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You, my friends, are completely loved and accepted by God just the way you are. Now, how many of you are thankful that you're saved by grace and accepted by God's grace? Are you thankful for that? How many of you are glad that God doesn't go, excuse me, Ralph, pew 12, row 1, seat 12? Ralph, you got angry this week. You kicked the dog this week. You are no longer one of my children. How many of you are glad God doesn't love that way? I'm thankful that I have the security of the believer. I'm thankful that I have the acceptance of my Lord. And God wants us to show that in our family. Some of you that every time there's a problem, you say, I'm going to call the attorney. First of all, you don't have an attorney, be honest. Secondly, if you have to go from zero to divorce every time you speak, it's like these heathen hoodlums who can't say two words without cussing. We need to get back to a spiritual level where we're not elevating everything to those levels.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. He's teaching and preaching through a series entitled Striving Together. We're rediscovering church life, how to strive together with other Christians in a fruitful and faithful local church family. You can hear all of the broadcasts in this series when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Also, you'll find other resources like the Daily in the Word podcast or the devotional. We hope you'll subscribe to these and use them or pass them along to a friend. All of this is found at dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chapel's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.